The word's good, yeah. You remembered. It's good all the time, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. I surrender all. Hallelujah. Don't say that if you don't want them to talk to you about your money, about your time, about your attitude. Come on now. I surrender all. That's everything. I give you it all. Praise God. But we mean it, don't we? Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Acts 13. I believe this will be the last night of our series entitled David, a Man After God's Own Heart. And this is part 5 of that. Of course, they are on live stream if you need to catch up on any of them. Acts chapter 13. You see, David was, we'll pray here in a second, but David was the real deal. I mean, he's one of the heavy hitters in the Bible. I mean, the real deal, a man that God counted on, a man that did things for God. And this series, really, of all these characteristics of David and what we want to be, is about us becoming and maintaining being the real deal. Amen? Not being fake, you know, but let's pray and believe God for utterance before we get going here. Father, we're just so thankful and so grateful for your precious word, the GPS, the compass for our life, Father. Our direction, our roadmap to take us to where we need to go, to help us to avoid things that we don't want to encounter, to help get us out of things that necessarily aren't your will and not abundant life. So we just thank you. The word is our answer. It's everything we could ever need and everything we could ever want. And so, Lord, I just am so humbled to be able to preach the word tonight, Father, on a Wednesday night. There's no doubt people worked, and no doubt people have things to do when they get home, and no doubt people have things to do tomorrow, and life's busy, and yet they came out and honored you to hear your word. And so, Father, help them to leave satisfied. I know they came hungry. They're here. And so, Father, I ask for help this evening to say what needs to be said, to impart unto people something that will bless them, that will change their life. And so, Father, I thank you'll speak to every single heart that is present here today. And that way, Father, we'll walk out of here satisfied, we'll walk out of here changed, and it'll be worth it. And Father, you're always worth it. So we come hungry, we come expecting, and we thank you beforehand for all that we will receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But Acts 13:22 is kind of our main scripture for this whole series. And it said when he had removed him, talking about King Saul, it said he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave this testimony. Who's the he? God. Talking about God gave this testimony. So basically, this is what God thought of David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. This verse has always jumped out to me. I have not always maybe demonstrated it in action, but even from a long time ago, I've had an inward desire to please the Father. That's my number one goal on this earth. You're probably thinking it's to shoot a buck like you see on TV. That's all secondary. My main goal in life is to please God. And I always say, you know, if they put this verse and testify about me on my tombstone, I'll know I've did my job. Praise God. This is what we should strive for, God to look at us this way. So-and-so, oh, I found my child. They're after my own heart. They want to fulfill my will on this earth. Oh, can you imagine God saying that about you? Because if this is testified this way, well, we certainly know there's Christians that aren't after the heart of God, that aren't after his will. Can you imagine God looking at you and saying, there's my child. They don't really care a thing about my stuff. They don't care anything about my purposes. They are all about them. I mean, that's heartbreaking to me. I mean, we got to be in eternity with him. Praise God. I want to go in there with well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? Praise God. And so, verse 36 of the same chapter says, for David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, one translation to make it a little easier said that David had fulfilled the will of God in his life, He fell asleep or was dead and laid unto his fathers and saw corruption or saw death. So it says he was, I found him. He's after my heart. He wants to fulfill my will. And then the Bible testified that he certainly did. Praise God. So we've been saying, well, if this is the testimony about David, and if we all agree we want God to look at us this way, well, there must be things in David's life, characteristics in David's life, that would make God say, wow, that is after my heart. That's someone that fulfilled my will. And if that's the truth, then we ought to want to find out, how can we be like David? And thankfully, he points out the wrong things too, so we can avoid those. But we find out the good things of how we can be people like David. And we saw, real quick, I'm just going to read the four things that we looked at. We won't, unless the Spirit of God prompts me to stop. But we saw, first and foremost, the first night that David did seek God's will and God's purposes. That was his number one goal, was God's stuff getting done. And let's be honest, we get so caught up and what I call the rat race, you know, of life, where we just get so consumed with our own things and our own stuff. And it's like God gets pushed aside and, you know, people get so busy. People get so busy in life. You know, a lot of people don't have a revelation of what the local church is and how it's serving God, honoring God, coming to hear from God, that God paid a price so there could be pastors, and Jesus went to heaven and he gave pastors, and all these things. They don't have a revelation. They can't even come to church faithfully, yet alone set their life on a course of, I want to do things for God. But yet, they want all the benefits that come from him, right? God is their vending machine. I want to just go up to him when I need something and press the button and get my stuff, but I don't want to give him my life. I don't want to lose my life. I don't want to surrender myself to him. It's all about me, 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 me. Well, that's not the kind of person that's going to get a testimony of a man or a woman after God's own heart who will seek to fulfill all God's will. And again, this stuff, this isn't just this is meat and potatoes type stuff. This isn't just skimming over fluff type of stuff. This is trying to bring people up higher. I don't remember all these services fall into one, but one of these past services, I believe it was here, I was ranting and raving about how I have a mandate to cater to the hungry ones. I'm not here to appease the apathetic ones or try to just kind of tickle things with the carnal ones and the ones that are casual about God. Amen. Amen. My heart, now I'll preach that God's loving and that God's merciful, because he is, and that he's patient and kind. But also, there's a reality to this about giving your life up for him, about serving him, about putting him first, and it really just leads to blessings for you anyways. And so we're trying to get you to be the real deal. I'm trying to get you to be like David. I want God to look at you like that. And we saw that with David. We saw the second week that David was a man of faith. And faith pleases God. David expected to see things from God. Every day, the Bible says that he would have fainted if he didn't believe. He didn't say, I would faint if I would see God, didn't see God's goodness. He said, I'll faint, or I'll have trouble, or I'll struggle in life if I don't even have that expectation. So every day, he said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What's he saying? I have an expectation. I have a belief that God's going to reward me. I have a belief that God's going to turn it around. I have a belief that God's going to help me. And that pleased God. That was a man after God's own heart. And we saw that David was also humble and repentant, didn't we? They kind of go hand in hand. That, yeah, David wasn't perfect. But aren't you glad that God's not looking for perfect? I mean, if he was looking for perfect, that lightning bolt would hit me right now. I'm telling you, I'd be dust. You'd think, that man, he joins good company with Lot's wife. Just a pillar of salt up here. That's what it would be. But God's not looking for perfect. Remember when God went after David and they went through all Jesse's sons and they said, oh, surely must be this one because the outward appearance says God doesn't look on the outward, he looks on the heart. The outward man at times can mess up and screw up, but there's still a heart of man. And even though David messed up and he messed up big time, God still looked at his heart. And David, he hated that he sinned against God. He hated that he messed up. He hated going against God's ways. And that was a man after God's own heart. And then last week we saw, or the week before that we were off last week, we saw that David was generous financially, right? Not just off the top tipping God. We're talking about sacrificial giving David participated in. And the thing I loved about David's sacrificial giving is he had the right mindset about it. He said, I'm giving all this gold. Yeah, I'm giving all this stuff to God. I'm dipping into my own treasure and sacrificing big time. But who cares? Who am I? I came into this world without that treasure. I only have that treasure because it's of Him anyways. And I'll tell you, when you start holding on a little too tight to your money, you better realize you didn't come into the world with it and you ain't taking it out. Right. Amen. It's true. And a lot of times people get so tripped up and they stumble financially. And I'll tell you, financially is such a big thing because the Bible says where your finances are, that's an indicator of your heart. And so if your heart's not with Him generously and sacrificially out of your finances, then your heart's really not with Him. And I know that's harsh to hear, and people say, oh, I don't know, but that's what the Word says. Money is such an indicator. And I love David's attitude. It's not mine anyways. It's yours, Father. You, everything I have is because of You anyways. And so our number one purpose for our finances here on planet Earth is not for us. Wow, that might have been a light bulb for some people. The number one reason for you to be blessed financially in your life, in your businesses, in your personal whatever, is to advance the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom. Well, that doesn't mean with everything but your money. And it doesn't mean you can't have nice stuff and you can't do fun things. If you'll put the kingdom first, all that other stuff will just be it'll come, be like charity. So we saw that, amen? We don't need to keep beating that. But then we're going to go on to part 5 tonight. Go to Psalms 89, verse 20, if you would. Psalms 89 and verse 20. Again, some of this stuff is just getting right down to it, cutting to the bone, because this is Wednesday night, crew. You're hungry for God. Not that people that aren't here on Wednesday night, just Sunday, I'm not saying they're not hungry for God, but you did make an effort in the midweek. It is difficult to come out at times, and you're here to hear from heaven. And so we're not going to beat around the bush. It says in Psalms 89, verse 20, I have found David, my what? My servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. But tonight we're going to talk about a man after God's own heart. That one characteristic of David that God gave him that testimony is that he was a servant. We've talked about this before, and tonight I'm going to focus on a specific aspect of a true servant and David's way he served. And I'll use examples of different things, of times I failed, times I did what the Word said, you know. Because I'm to be an example to people. But David had some characteristics of serving that, I'll tell you what, a lot of people in the church need to adopt. Yeah, absolutely. And so I'll just say this. Right off the bat, well, why don't we just hit a grand slam right off the bat? Just go right after it right off the bat. If you're not serving, you aren't even qualified to be, have that testimony, a man after God's own heart. That's good. Right? Amen. If you're not, I mean, the Bible says David was a servant, and we see that David was a servant. If you're not serving, you can't even begin to qualify to have that testimony about you. So what am I saying? Serve. Amen. We ought to serve. I don't just mean in church, although we should be serving in our local church. That's biblical. Serve one another, praise God. Being a blessing, hallelujah. So let's take a look at this, and I'm just going to go real quick until I get to the part where I want to really stop and take some time. But I just want to mention this really quick. You can write these references down. We're not going to look at these part, but I just want to point them out about serving, is that serving is not above anybody. Amen? When Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who stripped himself, humbled himself, became a man, and became a servant, the Bible says. Jesus became a servant. If the Son of God, the King of Kings, becomes a servant, I guess it's not too good for us, amen? Or we're not too good for it, I should say it that way. And so serving's not above anybody. And also we see that serving sets you up for greatness. That in Matthew chapter 23, the Bible says, the greatest among you will be a servant. So you can't qualify for greatness, which David is in the category of. When God says you're a man after my own heart who will fill me, that's called great. David was in the category of greatness, and so serving is great. But I know I'm preaching to the choir when it comes to people serving here. People serving multiple things here. But there's attitudes and hearts, a heart way of things that maybe need to be adjusted and corrected at times. And so I want to look at the characteristics of a servant's heart and characteristics in David's life. And let's just look at our own selves and let's just go after it tonight. And again, this is real deal stuff. This is heart stuff here tonight. And what will really help you when it comes to these things and these things that I'm going to bring up is in Colossians 3:23. And I do think we should look at that real quick. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "And whatever you do," notice doing. A lot of our Christian walk is doing something. Yes. Amen? Faith without works or faith without doing is dead. And he said, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily," as heartily is all your heart into it. All, you're fully invested. "As unto the Lord." So when you hear some of these things tonight, and we look at these characteristics, and we bring them to real world examples, and real life practicality and things like that, and it tempted to be like, remember, we're not talking about doing it for a man. We're not talking about for doing it for department leaders that are men and women who are in the flesh. We're talking about whatever we do it with an attitude as if we're doing it unto Jesus. Amen. Because if that's the truth, then it takes out, well, that's just a man, that's just a woman, that's just that so-and-so, I'm better than them, but that doesn't matter. If you're doing it as unto Jesus, he trumps everything, praise God. Amen. So keep that in mind as we go forward here tonight, that whatever we do in serving, that's serving in the, we'll talk tonight mostly about serving in the church. When you serve in the church, you ought to do it as if you're serving Jesus, not a man, not a department leader, as Jesus, praise God. Amen. So go with me to Luke 16 and verse 10. We'll get started here. Luke 16 and verse 10. Talking about characteristics of a servant's heart. "He that is faithful." What is faithfulness when it comes to serving? Being on time? Being excellent? Doing what you're told? Being consistent to be there, right? That's faithfulness. Doing what's right over and over and over again is faithfulness. Amen? And you know, again, we're talking about as unto the Lord because, let's be honest here. Most people in the body of Christ, I'm not saying the family churches are not lumping a certain audience, but most people in the body of Christ have way more honor for their jobs, right? They're faithful because why? They know a paycheck depends on it and money is so important to people. They're way more faithful to go to their jobs than they are to come to church and serve. They wouldn't think of not, and they wouldn't think of not doing it there, right? And so, "He that is faithful," doing the right thing over and over again, "in that which is least," the Bible says, "is also faithful in that which is much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust in the much." So what he's saying is, faithfulness in what you consider least will lead to you being able to be trusted with that which is much. Now, what about David? Because again, we're talking, all these are going to go back to David's life because David would have to have these characteristics if it's truly a servant's heart. Well, in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 11, 1 Samuel 16, stop, verse 11. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, are all your children here? And he said, there's one that remains, the youngest. And behold, he keeps or tends the sheep." Now, you have to understand, this is a big moment in life. The prophet has come. Well, don't you think that David would have loved to have been present when the prophet shows up? But where's David? All the other brothers get to come. But somebody's got to serve. Somebody's got to take care. And you have to understand something. In those days, if you'll study out the cultural things of time and things like that, of how the culture worked and stuff, the people, we see this with Cain and Abel. Cain was the eldest, and he didn't work with the animals. Cain worked as a tiller of the ground. Abel was younger and was a keeper of the sheep or a farmer. Well, in those times, the people that watched and tended to the sheep were the youngest and the ones that really weren't deemed as important. And so here David's brothers are all there, the big prophets in town, and David has to sit it out. But David's not sitting on the sidelines grumpy. David's not sitting on the sidelines with an attitude. David's tending his sheep. And the whole time God is seeing it. Hallelujah. Amen. It's true. What's he doing? He's off serving in that which is considered least. And it set him up for much. 1 Samuel 17 verse 34. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34. And David said unto Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep. What's he testifying? I served in that which was least. Hallelujah. And you know what I love about it? It says there came a lion and a bear and took one lamb out of the flock. You would think, wow, that's not worth it. But David was so excellent in serving that which is least that he chased down the bear and chased down the lion to get that sheep back. He didn't just say, nobody's going to notice one gone. They're surely going to understand. What did he do? He went the extra mile. He was excellent. Faithfulness is excellence. Amen? Amen. Faithfulness is not being lazy in your post and just taking it for granted. He was excellent. He kept his father's sheep. He went after the one flock. Praise God. And it led to much in his life. And of course, we'll look at some of that. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. See, somebody had to keep the sheep. David was willing and obedient. Praise God. David was, now here's the neat thing about it too though. When David finds out that he's going to be anointed king, his sheep tending days didn't end. He still was faithful in that which was least. Hallelujah. I remember feeling called to the ministry. I remember knowing I had the preach in me to had to get it out. But I can't go starting my own ministry. You'll fall flat on your face. You always need someone to get you there. Praise God. And so my ministry started in the parking lot at 3130 Garfield Road as the parking lot attendant. And here I knew that I was going to be a pastor. Faithful in that which is least. Praise God. Isaiah 1 and verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. What's a characteristic of a servant? Characteristic of a servant is they'll do what needs to be done. They don't pick and choose. They do what needs to be done. I can't tell how much I appreciate people when I announce, we need help in the nursery. And of course, we don't just put anybody in the nursery. You got to go through qualifications and serve and different things like that. And your background has to be a certain way and things like that. Of course, we understand that. But or I'll talk about being an usher or we need help doing this or that. And it's so crazy in a church full of people on a Sunday morning, how few come up to me after service and say, what do you need, Pastor? I'm telling you, it is so rare. I mean, I'll preach a message on it and maybe get one or two people that will come up to me and say, I'll do whatever the church needs. That's what a servant will do. Lord, you have need. If I can fill it, I'll do it, praise God. There are able-bodied people in our church that are faithful, that could be in the nursery. They just don't want to. Oh, I told you it's going to get... I have to turn the air conditioning up down a little bit because it might get hot in here. There is. There's people that could do sound and be on the overhead and serve in children's church and do ushering. Able-bodied people who have proven themselves to sit in a seat and be faithful. They just choose they don't want to. I don't want to do with kids. I don't want to do that stuff. Okay, that's fine. But willing and obedient eats the good of the land. If you say, I'm not willing to serve in nursery, you are saying, I'm not willing to walk in the fullness of the good of the land.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not willing to be a children's church leader. I'm not willing to serve as an usher. I'm not willing to be in parking lot if we had that ministry. I'm not willing to come clean the church. Okay, that's you're able to do whatever you want. This is America. I mean, we can do anything we want in America. We stomp our feet and just proclaim our freedom. Well, God's system is not based on America. In fact, the reality of God's word is you do not belong to yourself. You belong to Him. And so that's a servant's heart anyways. And it's just amazing how people just want to pick and choose what they want to do. It's like, try to get it across to people. Well, let me ask you this. Say, Pastor, help me renew my mind. Okay, go to Luke 22. Do you think that David always wanted to be the one when the big shot? What about when his brothers got to go off into battle, which was an honorable thing and a big thing, and David stuck on the farm? You think that he necessarily enjoyed that or that was his choice? No, but guess what? It was a need and it needed done, and so he did it. Praise God. Luke 22. In verse 41. Oh, Pastor, you're always nagging us to just do this stuff. I'll never apologize and I won't stop trying to yank you up higher. I never will stop because I know that if you'll surrender to Him, He said if you'll lose your life, you'll gain it. And I want you to gain things. I'm just telling you, I'll never back off of it. Luke 22, verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane before the night when he gets taken away and he knows what's ahead of him. What was Jesus on the earth to do? Not what he wanted to do. Now, in his heart of hearts, he wanted to fulfill God's plan, but his flesh didn't want to go to the cross. His mind didn't want to go to the cross. We have a perfect picture of it here. He says, Father, if you're willing, what's he saying? Father, in my translation, basically he's saying, if I can get out of this, that would be good. If I didn't have to do this. Now see, that's the thought of what people think. Father, I really hope I don't have to do nursery. Yeah, but when pastor says there's a need, that's your answer. But you say, oh, who are you, pastor? It's not unto me, it says unto Jesus. This is his house. Well, I really hope I don't have to usher. Yeah, but if pastor says there's need in ushers for ushers, that's your answer of whether or not you don't need to pray about it.
Come on.
What are you going? What are you going to pray until? I wonder, Lord, fast and pray. Do you want me to serve where there's a need in your house? I'm not getting anything. He must not want me to. It's because it's in the Word. It's not about what you want to do. Listen, this isn't college where you sign up for things. I'll pick that course and that course. I don't want to take that chemistry. I want to take this science. It's Lord, what do you need? If I can do it, I'll do it. Praise God. And it says, Lord, if you're willing, Father, if you can, please take this away from me. But I'll tell you this, Lord, I don't want to do this. This is not my choice. But Lord, this is what the kingdom needs right now. So I don't care that I don't want to do nursery, Lord, because you need it, I'll do it. That's what Jesus was saying. Lord, I don't care that I don't want to do children's church and help out. You need it, I'll do it. I don't care that I don't want to usher. I don't care that I don't want to do sound. I don't care that I don't want to come and clean. Praise God. If you need it, I'm willing to do it. The kingdom needed Jesus to do this. And there's nothing in this church that will even close to rival how much, I don't care how much you despise nursery, you don't despise nursery as much as Jesus despised what he was going to have to do. No matter what you say, think about in this church of what you don't want to do, even when there's a need, it will never come close to what the sacrifice was that Jesus went to do and how anti his flesh and his mind was before he did it. It'll never even come close. But he gave us the example of a servant, right? Remember? He humbled himself and became a servant. I remember the lady in the Jamestown church. She said, "Oh, I'll clean, but I'm not cleaning the toilets." We said, "We don't need you." What do you mean? That's the best part about cleaning. You say, no, that's the worst. No, that's the best. That's when you get to prove to Jesus your heart. You get to bow before that nasty thing that everyone's been using and not taking care of and just being careless with. And you get to do it as unto Jesus and show him your heart. I used to have an attitude where I felt bad for people on days they had to serve and not be in church until I got my mind renewed to what serving is. And now it's like, no, you're blessed in that nursery. Like, yeah, I know you'd want to be in church because you love to hear the word, but to take care of someone else's kids and do that unto the Lord, what an opportunity to prove yourself. Amen. Praise God. And I think of mighty men and women of God that have done things, and I think of Dr. Dufresne's worldwide ministry. When he got saved, he just couldn't wait to serve. He went to the pastor and said, "What can I do? What can I do?" The "what can I do" people are the ones that are such a blessing to the pastor. Amen. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And God promoted him. Hallelujah. You know, about needing to do what needs to be done. It's sad around here sometimes, and maybe it's just, you know, I try to be so sweet. You know, we don't try to take advantage of anyone around here. The ministry has to go forward. It has to get done, and people have to sacrifice. But we don't try to put someone in nursery 8 weeks in a row, or someone in children's church 5 weeks in a row, or have somebody sit out in the halls and usher for 5 weeks in a row. You know, but here's the thing. Are you willing to do nursery 8 weeks in a row? Are you willing to do children's church 8 weeks in a row? Would you be willing to be out in the hall 8 weeks in a row? Because let me just tell you a little bit about myself for a second. You know, I always tell myself all the bad things. I should at least be able to give myself some credit sometimes. But no, I'm to be an example in all things. There was a time in the Jamestown Church, and this is no joke, and it went on for an extended season. Every single Sunday, I did parking lot ministry and would come inside and do the overhead. Not once a month like we have some people doing it here. And we've scheduled people that way. So don't, if you're doing it once a month, that's not your fault. I mean, we've scheduled it and have some, when we get more people, we can spread it out. But I did it every single Sunday. I needed to sit in a chair and just take notes every single week why it was needed. Every single week I was out in the parking lot. Didn't matter what the weather was. Come inside, be soaking wet, be cold, and sit there and then do the overhead. And then during that same season, I would do youth group on a Wednesday and youth group on a Friday and worship practice on a Thursday. And this is before I'm staff. No money involved. And I'm telling you here to tell you the truth. Did it get wear on me at times? You betcha. But I never complained. I never went to Pastor Tim. I never grumbled and said, "I have to do this every week. You're taking advantage of me." You know what he would have said to me? "Jesus died on the cross, you big baby." We need at times, the Bible says, endure hardness like a good soldier for Christ. If we had more soldier mentality, I don't feel like doing that. Oh, that will go over well with the general. Go clean the head. I don't feel like that. Oh, yeah, try it. Come on. Every single week I was doing that. Every single week. And so what I was saying around here is because I think at times I get in my head, you know, where I don't want to offend people and I don't want people to be feeling taken advantage of. But it's such an honor to serve. It is such a high thing to serve. And that, you know, the first thing I'll say to people, anyone I announce it, you hear it, what I say is, well, you'll clean. You'll only have to do it once every 6 or 7 weeks. Like, I almost feel like you have to, and maybe it's because you get such a lack of response at times. I don't know what's more to blame, the lack of response or I just get in my head, or maybe it's a mix of both. But you feel like you almost have to entice people. Well, if you usher, you only have to do it. Or if you're in children's, it's only once every 6 or 5 weeks. If you're in nursery, we'll try to spread you out so you don't have to do it this many times. And it's like, wait a second. I want people that will show up and say, you need me every single week in nursery, put me down. If anybody calls in sick, I'm your person. Right? That's the kind of people that get it done, that do whatever for God. That's a David's. What do you need, Lord? Praise God. Hallelujah. Go with me to Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? It doesn't mean you'll be a pastor or maybe over a department, but there's things in life that God wants to promote you to. There is. If you can't serve under a pastor, you can't serve under a department leader, because if God's put them there, they're anointed to be there, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute here. How are you serving what's not yours? Would you serve it different if it was yours? If you do, then you have a heart problem. Hallelujah. See, David's faithfulness got him promoted, didn't it? 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14. Because remember what he says, if faithful in least, you'll be faithful in much. Faithful in another man's, you'll get your own, you'll keep getting promoted. Look at 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14. First Samuel 16 and verse 14. Talking about serving another man, real quick, let me say this, just came up with my spirit. Faithful in another man's, be faithful in yours. You know, when I heard in my spirit in Jamestown, when I was in the parking lot, you've heard that story, and I just surrendered to God, you know, and he spoke to me on one Sunday morning and said, you'll pastor someday, and it just blew me away, didn't it? You know, remember the story that Pastor Michael took me out to eat at, took us out at Ruby Tuesdays in Lakewood, and he said, so Pastor Mike, what's God calling you to? And I was so embarrassed to say pastor because I had such high regard for him, and I didn't think I'd be in that category, just whatever, you know. And I said, well, I'm going to be an evangelist. He knew I was called to preach. I told him, I said, I'm going to be an evangelist. He said, oh, and he smiled, you know. And we get back to the house, and I think we're having coffee or something to dessert, and he smacks me on the leg, and he says, so... Well, it was Mike at the time, not pastor, and he said, what's God calling you to? I was like, Pastor, I told you. I'm here. I'm lying to Pastor Michael. Just so you know, I'm lying to Pastor Michael. He hits me again. He says, so, Mike, what's God calling you to? I said, slap me if I need it. If I've missed it, I've missed it. But I feel strongly that I heard the Lord say that I'm going to pastor someday. And he pointed at me and he got that serious look on his face. He said, you have heard from heaven. Now, here's the point of this, though. When I heard that that I would pastor, 2 weeks later, I believe it was, I didn't told anybody. In fact, I kept that and pondered that in my heart for a long time. 2 weeks later, we get called up to, I believe he was living in, was it Portville? Is that where he was, up towards Brockton? Portland, is that what it's called? Portland? We get called to his house and he calls up some of the leaders of the Jamestown Church. I believe Reverend Randy and Karini were there, Pastor Brad. I think him and Stephanie were going at that time together. They were there, and Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie, myself, her. Calls us up there. I had no idea. Mr. Spiritual here. And he announces that Pastor Tim is going to take over the church in Jamestown. And that instantly, from that announcement, Pastor Tim becomes my pastor. Now, I'm on a high because I didn't think I was going to pastor the Jamestown Church. I had no idea. The Lord never said when, where, what it was going to be. But I'm on a high. But now, all of a sudden, Pastor Tim is thrust into the limelight. My equal for my whole life gets thrust into the limelight. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I made sure, after he was promoted that way, to make sure to keep it quiet. And that's one of the reasons I wouldn't say anything, because I didn't want it to look like I'm a jealous little whiny baby. I want mine. When you sucked your thumb, did you put your finger over? That's how I used to suck my thumb. Rest my finger. Anyways, I didn't want it to look. Why? I wanted to be found faithful in another man's. And Pastor Michael would tell me, he'd say, how you serve Pastor Tim is how it's going to go in the future. Amen. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Let's get moving here. But 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14. But what's that hard is what I'm saying is to not promote yourself. Well, I'm better at sound than so-and-so, or I can sing better than whoever's up there. I'd certainly know how to do more about this than this department leader, that department leader. Just serve faithfully another man's. Amen. Amen. See, because there were thoughts that came into my head. He's getting the Jamestown job. Because you have to understand, we're best friends here. From fourth grade, literally, we were inseparable from then the summer of fourth grade. I'm talking where my parents were almost just as much parents to him. He'd spend the night on school nights and throughout the week, always inseparable, all the time. So we're just buddies, beat on each other, you know, equals. And now all of a sudden he's thrust. Don't you tell me about thoughts that come to wanting to promote yourself and to thinking you can do something better and trying to usurp your authority. Oh, you talk about proven ground for me. But 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14, the Bible talks about God as the promoter, and he that's faithful in the least will get faithful much. Well, David was faithful in the least. Verse 14, it says, but the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. If you study that out, I don't have time to read it all in the Hebrew with permissive and things like that and verbs, but it's God doesn't have evil spirits, just so you know. But the Lord allowed an evil spirit to come unto Saul. And go to verse 16, it says, let our Lord now command your servants which are before you to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit of God is upon you, he shall play with his hand and you shall be well. And Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man. Listen to these testimonies about David. And a man of war. They say, well, what war was this? Well, again, you have to study it out deeper that there would be raids and different things. And because David never went to battle like his brothers did, but he would be a protector of what was attacked in his. And they had stories about him and how valiant he was in those battles. And prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore, Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. Just being faithful in that which is least, over and over again. In the overhead. In sound. In nursery, week after week, week after week. Week after week, nobody notices me. Yep, God's noticing. God's noticing. God's noticing your heart. God's noticing your attitude. God's noticing your actions. He notices. And if you're serving unto the Lord, who gives a rip? If that's all you ever do, it's unto Jesus. Praise God. But God has promotion for people. But he was with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid or goat and sent them to David, his son, and to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And David became the king of Israel's armor bearer, his right-hand man, faithful in least, promoted to much. Praise God. You want to know what faithfulness in the least looks like? Doing something with excellence that you don't want to do, that doesn't get a lot of fanfare or limelight. That's faithful in that which is least. Hallelujah. That's when a guest minister's in here and all the other churches have come and packed this place out and there's an energy in here like there's never been before and a hunger in here like there's never been before and you're stuck behind that wall with a smile and with excellence and with an attitude of, Lord, I'm not going to miss one thing in these meetings. I'm serving and you're going to bless me. serving behind that soundboard up there, serving out in the hall. Well, I sure wish I could be in there. You know, because the thoughts would come, he's not going to be able to call me out if he can't see my face. But a faithful person in that which is least will be out there say, I'm not going to miss one thing. I'm doing this for the house of God. And if I need to be out here all these services, God will make it up to me. I'm just telling you the right heart and the right attitude to have. Instead of this, well, I'll do it on the second Saturday of once every 5 weeks, and if it's this and that. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 10. I just want real deal people. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that evil spirit from God that God allowed came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand. David was there trying to... David was used to calm Saul down. What an amazing... His anointing on the harp was used to soothe the king and to be his armor bearer. Wow. So David's doing that. He's serving this guy. And David played with his hand, and at the other times there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Uh-oh. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will kill David, even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. David escaped that thing. Now, here's what I want you to see. David, after this, Saul tried to do this to him again. David continued to serve Saul. Here David, now think about this. David's playing the harp, knowing his position's mine. I'm anointed to be king. Right? The king is throwing spears at him, trying to kill him. And we don't, well, let's actually see what David did. David stayed honorable and kept his mouth shut. What does a servant do? A servant serves with excellence even when it's hard. Let's look at David's heart in 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. And it's getting worse and worse to the point where Saul's seeking him out to have him killed, sending people after him. And I'm going to tell you a story that I've never told publicly before, and I'm sure it's going to make you chuckle, but it's also going to help you. 1 Samuel 24, 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told by him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul gets word where David is. And remember, Saul's seeking him out to kill him. Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David. Whew, he's on a manhunt. Went from loving him to hating him. Now, the one of the main reasons that I didn't tell you about why David was hated by Saul, Saul was jealous. Remember, they would sing the song, David has slain his 10,000, Saul slain his thousands. And Saul heard it and said, they only attribute thousands to me. And from that point on, his heart turned. He got jealous about David and wanted to kill him. And so it says, Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel, went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheep coats, by the way, and where there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. So David, they're hiding out in the caves, and Saul's right there. It says, and the men of David, be careful listening to the gossip of disgruntled people. David's men said unto him, behold, this is the day. They knew Saul's by himself in here. You know that guy that's trying to kill you? The one that God has anointed you to serve under. Behold the day which the Lord said unto you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand. You may do to him as it shall seem good unto you. They're twisting what God had said to him and said, here's what the prophecy is being fulfilled. There's Saul, kill him. Now remember, David is a man after God's own heart. So whatever David did, because the Bible says the only thing that ever God ever pointed out that David did wrong was that thing with Bathsheba and the matter with her husband Uriah. He said, everything else, he had a heart, serve me. But look at what happens here. And David said unto him, they said unto David, this is the day, I'll deliver your enemy in your hand, you may do to him as it shall be good to you. Then David rose, he was influenced, you know, and he cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately or in secret. Now he could have killed him. Thank God David had some restraint. But he almost did that in a sense of, so when Saul would leave, Saul would know, oh, you know, David had him right there. And under the circumstances, it seemed like, darn right. Guy's throwing a javelin at him, trying to kill me. But, oh, this is so good. See, this is getting down to brass tacks, where the rubber meets the road here. Where people are either going to usurp their opinions and their American rights and treat me this way and I have my rights and privileges, or you're going to be a servant and be approved by God. It came to pass after that David's heart smote him because he's cut off Saul's skirt. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. The Lord's anointed to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed. Why, David had a godly heart. What does that look like in the real life? Well, I'll just start from the top and go down. In this church, God has anointed one person to lead this place, to steer this ship, to give the vision to, and it's called Pastor Mike. Amen. That's me. If you're called to be a sheep of mine, if you're called to this church, that means I'm called to be your pastor. That means the Lord has anointed me. Now again, we're not getting into cult stuff and weird stuff, but the Lord has anointed me to be your shepherd, to be over you in this place. What does that look like? Why is he doing it that way? Or pastor and his family talking bad, spreading rumors. That's lifting your hand against the Lord's anointed. But I'm not just going to here to put me on a pedestal. If God tells the anointed one, put so-and-so in charge there, put so-and-so in charge of ushering, put so-and-so in charge of nursery, put so-and-so in charge of cleaning, put so-and-so in charge of children's church, they are also the Lord's anointed. And when you speak against the department leaders of the church that God has in place, you are raising your hand against the Lord's anointed. It's the truth. We're talking about being the real deal servant. It doesn't matter if you think you can do nursery better than Mary Jo. It doesn't matter if you think you can do children's church better than her. It doesn't matter if you think you can do ushering better than Jeff, or sound better than Heather, or the cleaning and all that better than Grandma Alice. It doesn't matter. That's who God has me put in charge of those places. And if you're here in the church to serve like you're called to do, your job is to be honorable. Your job is to be excellent. Your job is to be faithful. And God will reward that. And David, and God looked at David and said, because of David's actions, by David repenting for that, that would tell us that God approved of that. Because whatever, the only thing that David did wrong that was pointed out to us that God took record of, let us know, was that other thing. So it pleased God that David's heart smote him. So David stayed with the servants with these words and suffered them not to rise up against Saul, but rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also rode after and went out of the cave. He even took a step further and cried after Saul, saying, I get chills when I read this, because you're talking about Saul would have never known it was David. You talk about humility here and being the real deal. This is real deal right here. My Lord and the King, when Saul looked behind him, David was stooped with his face to the earth, bowing before somebody that's on a murder spree to try to kill him. And David's upset that he touched the Lord's anointed, with just taking a piece off his robe, and David's at his feet. And again, there ain't no way I've ever looked at you, no tone of voice I've ever given you, or putting you on the schedule too many times in something that will rival getting a javelin thrown at you. But I heard my pastor tell me this one time, and it is so true. We will be tested by the weakness of our leaders. Because the people over us, they might be anointed to be there, but it doesn't mean they're going to be perfect in that place. Doesn't mean they're going to do everything that you approve of. Amen? And so the test comes. This was a test for David. And he failed it for a second, but then when he went out and made right by it, he said, "My Lord, my King." Saul looked behind him. David was bowed to him. And David said, "Saul, wherefore hear these words of mine? Behold, David seeks thy hurt. Behold this day," verse 10, "your eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and some egged me on to kill you, but my eyes spared you, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of your robe in my hand? I cut off that skirt of your robe, and I killed you not, neither nor have I transgressed my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you have huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between you and me, and avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon you." He felt so bad for what he did, for somebody that was so nasty to him. I know I got to close this up here. We've not quite gone an hour yet, but we're getting close to it. I don't want to go very much further. One of the greatest tests for me ever, I alluded to it earlier, was serving Pastor Tim, who in an instant went from an equal to me and someone that I think I know more than, and so you know how best friends are, and someone you think you could do better and things you did do better than him and things. He instantly became my shepherd. And I'm a guy that wants to do the word of God, and so I know I got to be honorable to him. I got to serve, and I got to treat him a certain way. It was the first day he ever preached in Jamestown as the new pastor. And I'll tell you what, I had a hard time swallowing this. When Pastor Michael told me, man, I was shocked. I just thought Pastor Michael would be in Jamestown forever, and I'd serve him forever. I mean, I didn't know, you know, that's what I'm talking about, Mr. Spiritual here. I was shocked. I knew Pastor Tim was called, but I didn't know he was called to be my pastor, which he was for a few years. And after the first service, we all went out to dinner. He took a bunch of the leaders out to dinner and things, and we're going to the Mexican restaurant in Lakewood. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with sports, in sports there's this weird phenomenon that happens in football and baseball where someone will take their hand and smack the people in the butt and say, "Attaboy," or "Good job." Have you ever seen it before? I don't understand it. I don't, like, I'd be happy if that just would go away. But you see it all the time. Bam, they'll smack them on the butt. Guy smacking a guy on the butt. You know, it's just kind of accepted. Like, that's what they do in sports, you know. Well, I still was having a hard time submitting to Pastor Tim being my pastor. So he's walking into the restaurant, and I take my hand. We're buddies. And I said, "Way to go, Pastor. Way to get him today." And I smacked him on the butt. Now, here's the thing. When you smack someone on the butt with a suit, you get a little more flesh feeling in your hand than you bargained for. Baseball pants and football pants maybe you don't feel as much, but suit, you feel everything. And so that was awkward. But I was like, "Way to go, way to get him, Pastor Tim." Whacky, woo, he's just like, "Woo," you know. And he just laughed it off, but when I did it instantly, my heart smote me. Why? He's not my buddy anymore. He's the Lord's anointed over me in my life to help me. And my heart, that whole meal, I felt so bad. He didn't make me feel bad or condemn me about it. Not at all. Afterwards, I pulled him aside and said, "Pastor Tim, I am so sorry." "Oh, you don't, no, no. I would never do that to Pastor Michael." Let's put "never" in caps locks with about an infinity amount of exclamation marks or points or whatever they're called behind it. And I said, "I want to honor you the way that I would honor him." And I said, "I'm sorry, it'll never happen again." And from that moment, a change came in me. And I was so over the top honorable for him. I went to extreme lengths to do things behind the scenes to help him in different ways in the church, to help him in his life personally, to help him when he would come to the church. Just going out of my way because I wanted to be over the top honorable to him. I did. I call it the slap heard around the world. Oh, man, oh, man. Could have done without that. My hand is whimpering because it remembers. It remembers the feeling. But hallelujah. Serving when you don't want to serve and serving when it's hard. And there were times it was hard serving him. Didn't agree with what he did. Thought I could do it better. Knew I was anointed. Imagine David serving under Saul, knowing, I'm taking your spot because you're not good at this. Because you're doing bad, I'm taking your spot. Was honorable, served, praise God. Hallelujah. And we'll close with this, Isaiah 53, verse 7. Sorry, it's been a little bit longer tonight. Isaiah 53, verse 7. It says, Jesus was oppressed. This is Isaiah talking about Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. If there was one person that had the right to speak his mind, give his opinion, put somebody in their place, it was the King of Kings as he's being beaten, spit on, nailed to a cross, crown of thorns on his head, beaten to a bloody pulp, and he stood there and said nothing. Why? Because it was all part of the job. It was what needed to take place, and he did it without opening his mouth. Wow. You see, what a lot of people don't recognize is that when we don't want to do something, that's when the very reward is the greatest. Because, for example, we've had a lot of people come through the 8 years. By the way, the first weekend in September is our 8-year anniversary here. It's my 8-year anniversary of being a full-time pastor, but it coincides with the church's 8-year anniversary. And in those 8 years, I've had a lot of people that are more than willing to let the world see how they can sing, to let the world see how good they are on their instrument. But, and that's serving. And people that are on worship team, it's a sacrifice. They get here early, praise God. They are subject to my craziness, you know, just at the last minute, come this time, whatever. And that's a sacrifice, it is. But what those people that are here to project themselves, it's easy for them to want to come up and be a good drummer and show people their guitar talent and show off their voice because their heart's wrong. So it's not a sacrifice, but then you ask them to go in the nursery or serve and be an usher or come clean the church. Oh, no, 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 no. But see, they're not realizing. And also, let me tell you this too. When you're under somebody like a Saul and say you're serving in a department where you don't necessarily agree with the person or maybe their personality isn't your cup of tea or you don't agree and they just might downright annoy you. Is there anybody in the world that gets annoyed by people? I get annoyed by people at times. Right? Well, they're not my personality. They're not this. They're not that. I'll just say this, and I don't think I'm out of place for saying this. It's just the truth. Pastor Michael and my personality have nothing in common. Naturally, nothing. We're just completely different people. Well, I'm not. I don't like how he is and how he does things and the way he is. I'm not like that, and I wouldn't say it like that. Nope. See, and Pastor Michael's no Saul. Please don't go back to him and say, Pastor Mike thinks you're Saul. No, I don't. I love that man. He's the greatest man in my life. I owe him everything. I'm just saying, personality-wise, you can't. If you're serving under someone, you don't like their personality, you don't like how they do things, that is the exact time when you can shine the greatest. If somebody's not treating you right, somebody's taking advantage of you and putting you in the nursery too much and putting you up overhead, and you just, that's your time to show God, I don't care. I'm willing to do it. I don't care that spears are getting thrown at me. I'm going to serve that man. Wow. What reward is there? Remember what Jesus said, if you do good to those that are good to you, it's easy. Hallelujah. Where the rubber meets the road is the boss you can't stand or the spouse you can't stand, and you serve them as unto the Lord. The pastor, the department worker, the whatever that you can't stand, and you serve like David did. Well, that's a lot to chew on tonight. And I better stop before we all just start choking and coming back up. We're getting too much in there tonight. But hallelujah. I just want you to be like David so bad. I just want you to be the real deal and get everything that God has for you. That's my heart for sharing messages like this. Father, thank you so much for your precious word tonight. Lord, we are trying to come up higher around here. And Lord, I know, and I say this, and I'm not saying it just to lay down a nice, we just preached the heavy meat of the word. I'm not saying this just to lay down the bun at the end to soften people, but it's true, Father. I'm preaching to the choir with the people that are in attendance here tonight, Father. There are people here that are willing to do whatever, that are willing to sacrifice, that serve in multiple departments and multiple places in the church. And so, Father, I thank you for that. We don't look lightly on that. But Father, there are people within this church and the body of Christ that need to come up higher, that need to start doing their part, that need heart adjustments. And so, Father, I pray that those people would get a revelation, that those people would lay their life down. When they say, I surrender, they would mean it. And so they would set themselves up to be in line to receive a testimony like David received. And Father, I just pray for them. I pray for people to come up higher. We're not trying to beat people down. We're trying to pull people up higher. Be the real deal. Be like David. Be like Joseph, who was accused of doing something wrong. He didn't do it. Was thrown in prison. Didn't pout. Didn't moan. Didn't groan. Didn't complain. He served and God promoted him. David, who didn't moan, groan, and complain. He just served faithfully and God promoted him. Jesus, who didn't moan, groan, and complain, but served faithfully and God promoted him. That's what we want to be, real deal people like them. So I just pray for each and every person to get that revelation, they will come up higher. And Father, I know nobody in here needs to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But Father, there might be people listening right now or in the future by the archives, and receiving Jesus is the way you get to heaven. It's the way you become a child of God. It's Jesus is everything. And the Bible says there's two qualifications to getting into heaven. Number one, believing in Jesus. Number two, receiving Him. And so if you're home or listening right now and you say, I don't know how to get to heaven. I don't think I'd go to heaven. Jesus is the way. All you have to do is believe on Him. In your heart of hearts, if you can say, I believe Jesus died and rose again. I don't understand everything. I don't get everything. That's okay. You don't have to understand or get everything. In your heart of hearts, you know Jesus was real. That's first qualification. Second is just ask Him to come in. That's receiving Him. If you'll cry out to Him with this kind of a prayer, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. I receive you now. He'll come in. He'll take up residency. He'll forgive you of all your sins. You'll become a child of God. And heaven will be yours. And then just shoot us an email, text, or give us a phone call and let us know that you received Jesus for the first time, and we'll get you set up in a Bible-teaching church. Can we just all stand to our feet real quick and just worship God? Repent if need be, worship, and just thank Him. Lord, we love you tonight. We glorify you. We magnify you. We praise you and bless you. We honor the name of Jesus tonight. Thank you for being our example, Jesus, of a servant. We have no excuses after what you did. It doesn't matter what we want, what we don't want, what's our preference, what's not our preference. There's no excuses after what you did. We want to be like you. If we want to be like you, then it doesn't matter about our preferences. It doesn't matter about our wants. It doesn't matter about our likes and dislikes. All that matters is what needs to be done. Let's do it with a smile and with joy. We worship you tonight. And we thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy and for all the utterance and the boldness that was there tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming.
You're not like man that you should lie. Do not falter or change your mind. All that you say is what you do. All that you promise, you're seeing through. So we